NASA's Space Launch System rocket went into space last week, starting the Artemis 1 mission. Artemis 1 is the first step in a three-part mission to get humans back on the moon after a 50-year absence. Jack Burns is a professor in the Department of Astrophysical and Planetary Sciences and professor in the Department of Physics at the University of Colorado Boulder. Jack, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
So as I mentioned, Artemis 1 launched last week. What have we seen so far?
Well, it's going very well. In fact, it's nearly flawless, is what I understand from NASA at this point. It was we had a number of delays going all the way back to August and September. But when it finally launched, it's been functioning extremely well. And now it's in the orbit of the moon.
This is part of a bigger mission, the last stage of which is to get humans back on to the moon. Can you talk about that long-term goal of not just probes, uncrewed probes, but bringing humans back onto the moon's surface?
Yes. This first mission is just to test out the system. Then Artemis 2, which is going to launch in about 2 years, will have the first crew. They, too, will orbit the moon. And then finally, Artemis 3 in 2025-2026 will land. That will be the first humans on the moon in the 21st century. And as NASA likes to advertise, it'll be the first woman and the first person of color to be able to go to the moon. So Artemis is very different than Apollo in that it is intended not to be a short-term program, not to fulfill political goals, but to be a long-term, sustainable set of missions that will result in a long-term presence on the surface for science, for extraction of resources, to manufacture materials using lunar metals and oxygen, and even water from the surface of the moon.
It's a long road to get to that point. With Artemis 1, what are some of the key things that we need to find out to make sure that Artemis 2, with actual humans on board, are ready to go up?
Yes, mainly to test out the engineering systems. So obviously the first step was to launch, make sure that this new rocket, the Space Launch System, was working. That's a box we can tick off now. Next is to understand the radiation environment in the moon. The Orion spacecraft, which will house the astronauts as part of the launch system, is in orbit of the moon, and it's going to be there for about 25 days. And we'll test out all of the communications, the computer systems, and see how everything does in terms of the radiation environment. Because once we're away from the Earth's magnetic field, we no longer have that protection. So that's one thing that they're looking at doing to test out all those systems. Then very importantly is coming back from the moon. The Orion spacecraft is going to be traveling at over 25,000 miles per hour. And so when it hits the atmosphere, the big item to be tested is the heat shield, because that heat shield is absolutely essential to protect the astronauts. Now, we have high confidence that's going to work because we certainly have well over 50 years of experience with such heat shields. And this is a modern version of what was used by Apollo.
Now, the Apollo missions successfully delivered people to the moon a couple few times. We got to do a little science, humankind. The astronauts got to do a little science on the lunar surface, but their time was limited, their gear was limited. What kind of hopes do you have for science we can do on the lunar surface if we can return there?
Well, this time Artemis really is largely about science. We don't have, it's not driven as was Apollo with the political goals. So the science is very broad-based. One of the things we are excited to do is to go to the lunar far side and to something called the South Pole Aiken Basin, which is the oldest, largest impact basin in the inner solar system, bring some samples back, because that's going to tell us information about the formation of not just the moon, but the Earth-Moon system. and the time period in which life was first formed. So learning about ourself and our history is one of the important goals of Artemis. Another goal, something that I'm working on as an astronomer, is we're going to be setting up radio telescopes on the surface of the moon. Our first mission actually is going to be in March. We have a unmanned lunar lander we'll be setting down in the South Pole, and that will be followed in subsequent years by putting down an array of radio telescopes on the radio quiet far side, which is always facing away from the Earth.
Okay, I was going to ask my next question is, what are the benefits of parking a radio telescope on the moon in particular? I guess we have a lot of radio waves here on the Earth, or otherwise I wouldn't have a job, for starters.
Well, that's exactly right. All of the, there's a great deal of radio interference. That's number one. But also number two is our own ionosphere. Our ionosphere bounces the lower frequency radio waves back into space, so they don't even penetrate all the way to the surface. This is frequencies below about 10 or 15 or 20 megahertz, so below the FM band. But that is a key part of the spectrum for us to open up on the moon, because that allows us to probe an unexplored part of the universe called the Dark Ages. This is before the first stars and galaxies formed.
Wow. When could we start, assuming all goes well with landing this and installing it and firing it up, when can we start to see results from that radio telescope on the other, on the far side of the moon?
Well, our first mission to the far side is already scheduled and fully funded. It's a mission called Lucy that will be a single radio telescope, a pair of antennas, and will be operating through the night. And this will be our first attempt to do what we call cosmology from the moon, that is to explore that early epoch. That's going to happen in 2025.
Now, you mentioned part of the goal of having crews land on the moon is to have some kind of sustainable presence there and being able to manufacture some of the things humans would need on the moon using local materials. In our last minute or so, are there enough of those materials to use on the moon?
Oh, yes. The moon has all the same elements as does the Earth. And we've learned in the last decade, it also has water ice at the poles. That water ice is, in principle, like gold, or maybe even a better analog, petroleum is on the Earth, because we can take the water, split it into hydrogen and oxygen, recombine it into rocket fuel, which we don't have to then bring all of that rocket fuel from the Earth. It's a lot easier to lift it off the moon. So the moon could become a fuel depot for launches, not only from the moon, but launches that then go further out into space, including trips to Mars.
Jack, thanks again for joining us today.
You're certainly welcome.
That's Jack Burns, professor in the Department of Astrophysical and Planetary Sciences at the University of Colorado Boulder. He talked to us about NASA's Artemis 1 mission. It launched last week, the first, as we heard, in what's expected to be a long line of moon-related missions.